Have you ever considered how important light is in your life? Oftentimes we don't appreciate how important light is in our lives. It is one of the remarkable benefits of God's creation. By light, we can see to do our daily activities. We can read to increase our wisdom. By light, we can see the beauty of God's creation. And by means of a lamp in our homes, we can avoid stumbling around in the darkness because of that light from the lamp. Physical light is so very important to each and every one of us as human beings. But spiritually speaking, light is important to all of us as disciples. And the Bible tells us of the importance, the spiritual importance of light in our lives. There is a spiritual dimension of light that is important for all of us to understand. Please turn with me to John chapter 12 to begin the sermon this afternoon. John chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 32 through 36. Jesus Christ was approaching the end of his public ministry. He was speaking of his imminent death. And unfortunately, many of the people that were surrounding him didn't even really know who he was. So let's pick it up in John chapter 12 and verse number 32. John 12 and verse 32. Again, Christ approaching his imminent death and the end of his public ministry. Verse 32, he says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth," referring to his crucifixion, "will draw all peoples to myself." Verse 33, John makes this comment. This he said, signifying what death he would die. Verse 34, the people answered him, "We have heard from the law, books of the Old Testament, that the Christ remains forever." They thought that the Messiah would not die. "How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Again, referring to the crucifixion. "Who is this Son of Man?" So they asked this question, and Jesus Christ didn't directly answer their question. Instead, he gave them a warning. Verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you." And he was referring to himself here as the light, and that he wouldn't be with them very much longer. "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." Christ said here in verse 35, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness," referring to spiritual darkness, "overtake you." And again, this is a warning from Jesus Christ. For the disciples of Christ's day, the admonition to walk with Christ while he was still with them on the earth was that they should be connecting to him and accepting him as the Messiah. Because after a short time, he would be gone and darkness would be upon them. For many of Christ's day, the darkness would be a persecution from false religion that was forming. And also from living in the Roman Empire, in which they controlled life and were heavy-handed with the common people. But there's an admonition for us today, each and every one of us, by Christ's words. Because by Bible prophecy tells us that dark times are coming upon this world, and they're approaching very, very rapidly. So we as disciples, each and every one of us, must walk with Christ, abiding in him, and living a godly life while we have the opportunity. Because our opportunity is now. Verse 36, he says, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And then John makes this comment, "These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them." Christ says here, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." If you're reading in the King James Version, the translation is children of light. This phrase has a special significance, especially for each and every one of us, a spiritual significance, to become sons of light. So what does it mean to be sons of light? And how can we, you and I, while we have the opportunity, become sons of light? The title of today's sermon is Becoming Sons of Light. Becoming Sons of Light. Today we will examine how we as disciples can become sons of light. To become sons of light, we must, as Christ put it, walk in the light. During this sermon today, we will learn what walking in the light means and where that light comes from. Now, when we talk about light, we find light in much of the Bible. It actually begins in the book of Genesis and finishes in the book of Revelation. In fact, we find light discussed in 46 books of the Bible. It's one of the central themes in the scriptures. But the admonition here is that we are to become sons of light, walking in the light and not in the darkness. And the darkness is in this world today, and it wants to get a hold of us. It wants to bring us down. It wants to defeat us. And we have to be conscious of that and continually seeking to walk in the light. Let's take a look at some of the words and phrases in verse 35 and 36 here. Examine them a little bit closer. Our English word light comes from the Greek phos, P-H-O-S, and it simply means the opposite of darkness. It occurs 5 times in these verses being emphasized and refers back to Jesus Christ. We're in chapter 8 and verse 12 of John. Christ said, I am the light of the world. He is the light of the world. In verse 36, the first part, we see this phrase, believe in the light. And Christ was speaking of himself, to believe in Christ. He was exhorting his disciples to put their faith and their trust in him. And he actually repeats that in verse 46. Let's drop down to verse 46. Christ says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Christ does not want his disciples to go down the path of darkness. He wants us to stay in the light. And that's what we should be doing. And that's what we should be trying to do in our lives. Putting our faith and trust in Christ helps us to stay out of the darkness. Taking a look at another phrase here in verse 36, he says, while you have the light. That's actually a warning. That's actually a warning. To the people of Christ's day, he was telling them there was a limited time to respond to him, to respond to the light, to accept him as the Messiah and follow him, because his death was imminent. But to us of our day, there's a limited time for us to respond to the light, to take advantage of our calling, because darkness can overtake us if we don't respond properly. We also see this phrase here, that we should become sons of light. Again, spiritually speaking, to become sons of light. Sons of light are walking in the light. And to those whom God has called and revealed his truth, they are to live according to the truth, to walk like Jesus Christ, abiding in him, attached to the vine, and bearing fruit. Especially as we go forward towards the Feast of Pentecost, which is just a little over a week away, we want to be bearing fruit as disciples. So as we go forward in this sermon now, let me ask this question, how do we become sons of light? Well, I'm going to give you 3 ways that we can become sons of light. Number one, first of all, to become sons of light, we must recognize that God in Christ are the source of light. Let me repeat that. To become sons of light, we must recognize that God and Christ are the source of light. We have to be seeking after them, to be building a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. As Christ says in here in verse 46, he says, I have come as a light into the world, as a source of light. And we must have built our faith and trust in him. Let's go to the book of 1 John now. Of course, the Apostle John did walk with Jesus Christ, learned so much from him, and he gives us great admonishment. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 through 7. In this section of Scripture, John is speaking of Christ and the fellowship that we can share with Christ. And we read here in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, John writes this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. God is holy. He's untouched by any evil or sin. And of course, darkness is the opposite of light. It's the wrong path to go down. And God shows us the way to become sons of light, the way to live by means of his light, as we read here in the scriptures, by walking in the light. Our English word darkness here, I'd like to read a little bit from the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament about our word darkness. First of all, it gives the general features of darkness. It says this. Darkness denotes the whole range of what is harmful or evil. What is harmful or evil for all of us, and especially all of us as disciples, in the sense of the threat to life, as well as that of moral evil. That's what darkness is. And darkness can affect us in the form of spiritual blindness, where we become spiritually blind and don't keep going down the right path, and we're going down the wrong path. The dictionary goes on to say this, darkness as an objective situation is concealment, obscurity, secrecy, and deception. I think that's very, very interesting. Concealment, obscurity, secrecy, and deception. The tools of Satan the devil and what he tries to get us to do to go down that path of darkness. And when people begin to do these things, conceal things, obscure things, deception, they're walking in darkness. But God does not hide things. He reveals the truth. Continuing on here in verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Of course, we do not want to be going down that path at all. Verse number 7. But if we walk, and this is what we want to be doing, you and I as disciples. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse number 7 is stressing to us the importance of walking in God's light. People who don't walk in God's light fall away into the path of darkness. And that's not what we want to be doing. God is a source of light, and we have to be seeking after him. In our prayers, we can do that. God, help me to continue to follow your light and to walk down that path of light. God would love to hear that from us in our prayers. Let's go to Psalm now, chapter 36. Psalm chapter 36. And we'll read verses 7 through 9. Psalm chapter 36, beginning in verse number 7. Psalm of David, verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Again, putting faith and trust in our great God in Christ. Verse number 8. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. And then notice verse number 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In your light, we see light, because God is the source of light. And we are able to see light, or what is true, what is truth, through God, through his word, which we have in front of us here, and by his example. But man, he goes down the darkness, the path of darkness, that of deception, twists things around, half-truths, deception, and lies, the path of darkness. And we're seeing that more and more in our world today. We're seeing it in the political realm. We see it in the government realm, and also the religious as well. Half-truths, lies, deception. Not the path that we want to go down. In your light, we see light by God's word and his character. You know, I'm not going to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 34, God revealed his name to Moses. And in his name, he said, he is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. Characteristics of our great God. And God is light, and seeking him is so important for each and every one of us as disciples, and each and every day of our lives. Let's go to John chapter 8. I referred to this earlier. John chapter 8, Jesus Christ was teaching, and you'll recall this section of scripture, that the Pharisees caught this woman in the act of adultery, and they brought this woman to Christ, and I'm paraphrasing here, and they said, we need to stone this woman. And then he said, whoever of you have committed sin, you cast the first stone. And of course, you know the story that they ended up walking away. John chapter 8, and let's pick it up in verse number 12. We'll read verse number 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, because Christ is the source of light. And notice this. This is an admonition for all of us. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Shall not walk in darkness. That's a promise. If we follow after Christ, we won't walk in darkness and have the light of life. And we're talking about a spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. And that's so important for us, especially in these times that we're living in, as they get darker and darker and darker. We must recognize, first of all, to become sons of light, that God and Christ are the source of light. And we must seek after them and their light. Number two, a second way to become a son of light, we must apply God's word in our lives. Again, each and every day of our lives. We must apply God's word in our lives. Psalm chapter 119, the longest book in the Bible. Longest chapter in the Bible, I should say. Psalm chapter 119, and we're going to read, begin in verse 105. Psalm chapter 119, and verse number 105, again talking about to become a son of light, this second principle, we must apply God's word in our lives. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, this is something that, generally speaking, people in the world do not understand. You know, we've talked about the fact that more and more people today are, or I should say less and less people are going to a church. Less and less people are reading the Bible. Less and less people even know what a commandment is. And they don't know the path of light. But God's word is the path of light to each and every one of us as human beings, and especially as disciples. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A light in the sense that it provides understanding of the truth, and using God's word as our guiding light. Let's drop down to verse 130. Verse 130. The entrance of your words, and I'd like to add the entrance of your words into the mind, our minds. The entrance of your words gives light, God's light, and the truth. It gives understanding to the simple. You know, I think each and every one of us, I'll raise my hand. I don't consider myself one of the great people of the world, you know, the philosophers and the teachers and the, you know, mathematicians, you know, not that there's anything bad with any of those people, but I don't think any of us consider ourselves great people. We consider ourselves simple. And yet God's word has given us great understanding. Understanding that a lot of great minds do not have. Because we have the understanding of God's plan of salvation for mankind. Where everything is going to. That God does have a plan. Not only for us, but for all of mankind. And it's inspiring. God gives us that understanding. He opens our minds to it. This word entrance here means opening. And some versions translate it unfolding. The unfolding of God's word gives light. And it literally can mean to read and understand his word more fully. It can also mean God opening the meaning of scripture to a person's mind. That is, the scriptures have been unfolded to us to understand. Verse 136. Rivers of water run down from my eyes. Why? Because men do not keep your law. Because people are living in the darkness of this world and getting worse and worse. We see the way the world is going. And we know what Bible prophecy tells us where it's going. And it does pain us. The picture here is of one crying. Because we see men drifting and drifting farther and farther away from God. The path of darkness. And that's what we do not want to be doing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. A simple proverb here. Proverbs chapter 6. And verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 23. A simple proverb, but it has so much meaning, spiritually speaking especially. Verse 23 of Proverbs 6. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And this is something, again, generally speaking, that the world does not understand. How important God's commandments are. And that his law is a light. And if everybody in this world, everybody, the billions on this planet, were keeping God's commandments and walking in God's way of life, we'd be living in a different world. And that lays out in the future yet. And it is coming. But we must continue as disciples on the path of light and using God's word as the light in our lives. One more scripture in regards to applying God's word in our lives to become sons of light. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And here in this section, we're going to connect what we're talking about to become sons of light with the upcoming Feast of Pentecost and the importance of it. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 8 and go through verse 11. This is where walking in the light is admonished to all of us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Apostle Paul says here, for you were once in darkness. And that was all of us. All of us that before God's calling, we were walking in darkness. We're going on the wrong path. But fortunately, God has called us and opened our minds to understand his word and his light. For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. God has called us to understand the meaning of light and the source of light. And his word is light, to be using it in our lives. And then the admonition, walk as children of light. And again, that should be our walk, each and every one of us. And then notice verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, what does goodness, righteousness, and truth remind you of? Reminds me of God's character, because God is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Godly character, and again, fruit of the Spirit, connecting this with the Feast of Pentecost that's going to be on us very, very soon. and the need to be building fruit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit here reflects back to walk as children of light. If we are putting the God's fruit, bearing fruit, and developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we will be walking as children of light. So the fruit of the Spirit does reflect back to walk as children of light. And then verse number 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And that we can do by using God's word and applying it in our lives to become those sons of light. And then number 3, third way of becoming sons of light, is we need guidance from God's Holy Spirit to become those sons of light. We need guidance from God's Holy Spirit. We'll be talking more about that on the Feast of Pentecost. Become sons of light. We need guidance from the Holy Spirit to keep us on the right course, to keep us on the right path. We have to be able to recognize the truth from the lie and follow what God tells us to do. And by means of the Holy Spirit, it guides us to find what is acceptable to the Lord, His truth, His commandments, and His way of love. Let's go to John chapter 14, where we were earlier today, this afternoon in the sermonette. Of course, Christ was with the disciples in the upper room shortly after they had partaken of the New Testament symbols of the Passover. And he begins to instruct them while they're still in the upper room and teaching them about the Holy Spirit that would be coming on the day of Pentecost and the help that they would be receiving from the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. And let's pick it up in verse 25, and we'll read verses 25 and 26. John 14, verse 25, again, Christ teaching the disciples about the Holy Spirit and teaching us as well. Verse 25, he said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." And of course, Christ knew that his death was imminent. Time was short, and he'd been teaching the disciples. But now he gives them a promise of something that was going to help them along the way. Verse 26, "But the helper," the Parakletos, the one that comes alongside to give aid, "the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," and that's a promise, "the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you." And what a great promise that is, God's Holy Spirit to help us to remember Scripture, to remember lessons that we learn from the Bible, the teachings of Jesus Christ, and then the need for us to stay on the right path. It will help us to do those things, teaching and guiding us to be sons of light and to walk in the light. Let's flip over a page to John 16. By this time, they'd left the upper room. And they're walking along the road to Gethsemane, where he'd be arrested, tried, and put to death. And he continues to teach them, especially about the Holy Spirit that'd be coming. John 16, and let's pick it up in verse number 7. Connection here between the Holy Spirit and finding the truth. John 16 and verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." And of course, Christ was telling them the truth, his word of truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." And Christ knew that his time was short and telling the disciples that his time was short. But it was to their advantage that he goes away. "For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you." And again, that's another promise. I'm going to be going away, but the Holy Spirit is going to be coming. And it's going to be your helper. And it's our helper, it's our teacher and guide. Verse number 8, "And when it has come, it will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." And Christ says this in verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." And then verse 13, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth." And it guides us into truth. Helps us to understand the truth and to stay on the right path. It will guide you into all truth, for it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak and will tell you things to come. God's Holy Spirit is our guide and our help. Christ said in verse 7, I tell you the truth, because he is a source of truth, the source of truth. And he says here in the first part of verse 13, referring to the Holy Spirit, it will guide you into all truth. And the truth of God deals with spiritual matters, a knowledge that is revealed. It's been revealed to us, and the Holy Spirit guides us along the way. You know, you and I as human beings, we struggle with our problems and our trials and the things that come along in our lives. But God is there to help us. And he promises that the Holy Spirit will help us and guide us. And we can ask for more of that Holy Spirit. God, I've been struggling with this problem, this trial that's been coming through. Help me by means of your Holy Spirit that I can continue on and go forward and be guided and keep on that path of light. Help me by means of your Holy Spirit. And that help is there for us. And we can seek it. And God would love to hear that from us. Just another page over, John 17, verse 17. Part of this instruction, that this was the prayer that Christ gave on behalf of the disciples. We read this during the Passover ceremony. John 17, verse 17. He says, they are not of the world. I'll pick it up in verse 16. They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And Christ prayed that the disciples be set apart, sanctified for special use. And we as disciples, as believers, are distinct from the world, its values, its ways, its sin, a different kind of life that we're living. Reflecting God's truth, the path of light. We want to stay on that light. Christ said here, your word is truth. And God's Spirit helps us to understand that and guides us and leads us in the truth. God's word shows us how to be sanctified, set apart, and used for God, useful for God in his service. And that's what we want to be doing, staying on that path of light. And God's Holy Spirit helps us to become those sons of light, guided by God's light. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 33 through 36. God's Spirit also helps us to keep a focus, to keep that focus of God's kingdom in our mind, be seeking after God's kingdom, keeping it first in our lives. And we have to have that focus. And the Spirit can help us to do that, to stay on that path of light. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse number 33. Luke 11 and verse 33. Christ says this, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket. And that's only common sense. You know, if you're in a dark room and you've got a light, or maybe a flashlight, you don't put it under the bed or under a basket or something where it doesn't help you to walk through the darkness. You don't do that. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but puts it on a lampstand that those who come in may see the light. And we, as disciples of Christ, want to be showing our light. Matthew 5, verse 14, to be those examples of God's way of life to the world. Lights to the world. We want to be exercising that each and every day of our lives. Verse 34, and here's where we talk about this focus now. The lamp of the body is the eye. That's an interesting phrase here. The lamp of the body is the eye. Speaking of the focus of our eyes, directing what we're looking at. And what we want to be looking at in our focus is God's kingdom. And to become part of the family of God in the kingdom of God. Christ is saying that the mind's eye is focused, looking straight ahead. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, Your whole body is full of light. Again, focused and looking forward. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. And then he gives a warning here in verse 35. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. It is a warning. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Don't go down that path. Stay with what is true. What God has shown us and how we should be living. Building those fruits of the Spirit and bearing fruit in our lives. Developing character is what we want to be doing. He says here in verse 30, take heed, 35, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Morally and spiritually, light and bearing light, reflecting light in our lives. That's what we want to be doing. Verse 36, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. We have a choice to make, each and every one of us, the path of light or the path of darkness. The path of light is completely following God and His Word, His way of life. And the opposite is the path of darkness, Satan's way and this world's way. And we don't want to be going that way. And we want to have our mind's eye focused, keeping that focus on what God has for us, His plan, and walking in that light. The Apostle Paul warned that in the end times, and we're approaching them rapidly, will come upon the world suddenly, catching the world off guard. And you and I, we don't want to be caught off guard. We want to be ready, spiritually ready. And he exhorted the brethren to be watching spiritually and not to be caught off guard. Let's finish up by going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the Apostle Paul here is talking about the day of the Lord and the return of Christ and exhorting the brethren. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Apostle Paul. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. No need to write to you because the Apostle Paul had been teaching them and teaching us as well. The times and the seasons. These two words together describe end time events. And even though we don't know the day and the hour that Christ will return, we can observe the signs and the times in relation to Bible prophecy. And Paul had been explaining it to the brethren in his day and time, and he explains that to us as well. Continuing on, verse number 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Interesting terminology, that the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. Night, when there's darkness. Darkness that can overtake people. A thief comes in the night in the darkness, secretly. And end time events are going to come upon this world as a surprise. Like a thief coming upon a sleeping homeowner. Verse number 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. You know, when I read that verse number 3, that when they say peace and safety, and I probably mentioned this before, but it all reminds me from something from history. Back in 1939, right before World War II, and the Prime Minister of England, Neville Chamberlain, had gone to negotiate with Adolf Hitler. Was doing these negotiations because Hitler was rattling his sabers and his swords to begin to try to march towards war. And Chamberlain was negotiating with him. And as he came off the plane, coming down the stairs, the reporters were there ready to interview him. And his words were, "We have peace in our time," I'm paraphrasing. And the next day, World War II began, as I think Hitler went into Poland and World War II began. When they say peace and safety, watch out. reminds me of that. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, here's the admonition for all of us, you brethren are not in darkness. We aren't in darkness. We are in light, and we want to stay in the light, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You brethren, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. And that's what we've been talking about in this sermon today. We want to become sons of light, following the light of Jesus Christ and our great God and the word that they have set for us, the lamp for our feet to continue going down that path of light. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Verse number 6, therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Don't be spiritually sleepy. Be awake and be ready. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night when the darkness prevails, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Well, we want to be sons of light. Verse number 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, spiritually speaking, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The exhorting for us to be not spiritually sleeping, but spiritually awake, sons of light, to be walking in the light in the day. That includes spiritual alertness, having the right spiritual priorities in our lives, our daily prayer life, study of God's word, seeking Christ, and building character. And as we go towards the Feast of Pentecost, we should be focusing on that, developing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And we can ask for help by means of God's Holy Spirit to become sons of light and to walk in the light. Faith, love, and hope, belonging to the day, the light, and one who walks in the light lives according to these. And let's keep that focus each and every day, especially in these dark times we're living in. In conclusion, while we have the light, while we have the opportunity, and we do have the opportunity, each and every one of us, we must walk in the light. Becoming sons of light describes our walk as disciples, to have a focus on God's kingdom, following God and Christ as they are the source of light, using God's word, the scriptures, to help us make that walk, and being guided by the Holy Spirit to keep those lights burning. Let us walk in God's light, become sons of light, and keep on that path to the kingdom of God. Been nice to be with all of you here today on this Sabbath day. And I hope all of you that are connected by means of the Zoom internet connection today, that you have a good Sabbath the rest of this day as well. And look forward to the Feast of Pentecost.